so we can talk slowly, let the mayor get here. So, oh, yes, so since Richard Wilkin lives, I'd like to call this meeting to order, do a roll call. Ronald Wong, absent. Diane Conway is absent. Randy Droppert is absent. Sherry Barrera.
Here.
Juliana Yeast.
Julie
Yeast.
Yep.
Pandora. Yep. Shaw.
Shaw, yeah. Here.
Okay. Open discussion with Mayor Woodard. Julie, just to mention, we were talking earlier about questions for Mayor Woodard, specifically around compensation, although we have lots of questions for her about other things. The issue is elected official compensation. Oh, here she is. All right. Mayor Woodard.
I feel like that's the hot seat right
there. Yeah.
It is. Well, clear some room right here. Yeah, pop me down here.
Can I come down?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Regan.
This is a lot of pressure sitting down there.
All right.
Good to see you all. Thank you for having me.
This is great.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So let's introduce ourselves.
Okay.
So you know the staff, I presume?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Staff, you
look a little familiar.
Yeah. So we can start with Julie.
Julie, yes, you might know me through Teamsters Local 117.
Okay. I was like, why don't you feel so familiar to me?
She is actually representing the elected officials on this campaign.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm Sherry Barrera, and I live in Northeast Tacoma.
Okay.
And do you want us to
just say a little bit about your background?
So I teach special ed, and I teach actually in Federal Way, mm-hmm. but I live in Northeast Tacoma. And, that's what I do.
And you've been on the commission for?
This is my second year.
Okay. Yeah. And this is Julie's second meeting, right?
Third meeting.
Okay.
And I'm up in Hilltop.
Okay, good.
And I'm also a union rep for the school district. So I work in Federal Way.
Okay.
I'm Pandora Shaw. I live in East Tacoma. I went to Lincoln.
All right.
I also study special ed at Eastern Washington.
Okay.
And then I work as a manager at Pizza Hut, training to be assistant manager.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm Richard Wilkinson, and I live in the theater district,
okay.
two blocks from here.
There you go.
So that's right. You get right across from the Grand Cinema.
Okay.
So
to live in the triangle?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And
you live with Alisa.
What was it?
Alisa? Oh, Helen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Craig, Alisa, yes. Absolutely. Yes, it's also across the street from the Best Bakery, you know, so it's
Carina's.
A lot of temptation there. Also, I moved here from Seattle, where we lived for 30 plus years.
Okay.
And I have to say, this Tacoma is like this best kept secret. I had no idea how cool
it
was.
Cool
we
it is.
Really, really enjoy living here. I work at UW Tacoma.
Okay.
And I am actually the mayor's appointee. Although I never met Mayor Strickland, I was in it at the beginning. And I am the HR specialist. Associate Vice Chancellor for HR and Organization Development at the UW.
Okay.
And the reason I got into this is my HR director's sister used to work in HR at Tacoma.
Gotcha.
And I had spent 27 years in city government working both for city managers and mayors and HR.
Okay.
Until I left that industry for
Higher ed.
Well, no, actually for global health.
Okay.
And then to higher ed.
Okay.
So I worked in actually the Department of Global Health in Seattle for some time.
Okay.
And then here. So anyway.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all for your service.
Yeah.
No, this is not the easiest job.
So we have, this is great. This is so gracious of you to make time in your schedule to be here. So we really appreciate it. We're, in my experience with city commissions and committees, I've never seen one like this where we have the final say. It's quite sobering to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, nobody.
A lot of responsibility
no
when
kidding.
You have the final
really,
say.
Yeah, it's really something to. But wait, so we have several questions for you.
Sure.
And we were talking a bit beforehand. And I would also maybe just kind of turn to the commission if you have questions right at the get-go for Mayor Woodard.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So here's the question for us. All right.
Okay.
So we'd love to hear more about your perspective on the job, and especially you're in a unique role because you were on the council.
Right.
And now you're mayor.
Yes.
And I would love to hear a contrast. I mean, what have you already learned about the differences? So share more about the nature of the job.
So I'll tell you, the greatest excitement for me when I walked in the door on January 2nd was that for the first time in 12 years, having been on the park board and then on the city council, for the first time in 12 years, I got to have one job. A big job, but I got to get up every day and go to one place and not figure out how I was going to split myself between two different places as a council member, and then having a full-time job at the Urban League, trying to fit in all the extra meetings I had to do as a council member, but still maintain, some time at my day job. So I can tell you that was probably one of the happiest things for me. It's like, okay, it's a huge job, but at least it's just one job. I get to show up at one place, and everything I do is around this one particular job. Now, I will be honest and say that when I decided to run, and as I was running, I thought, I've been a council member. Mm. I was a council member for 7 years. Surely, it can't be any more difficult than I get to do it full time, and I have to do a few more things, but it can't be any more difficult than being a council member.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Okay.
I had no idea how busy the job was. I've been busy all my life in community, and always with two jobs or doing other stuff. But I tell people who ask me about it, it might be a little bit busier than my life has ever been, but the intensity of the busyness is completely different. I show up to some of the same events I've always gone to. Right? But there is a whole different expectation of me as mayor when I show up. I don't get to just show up and be my happy, bubbly, good to see everybody, and we all hug.
Yeah.
No, every time I show up somewhere, somebody wants to talk to me about an issue, I have to have an answer to something. I have to remember 10 different things that I've got to remember to go back to my office and do or get people. It is completely different than being a council member, and just the expectation of you as mayor is different than the expectation of you as a council member. And Marilyn said that to me when I was running, and I thought, oh, she's just saying that because she's the mayor. But she was a council member and a mayor too.
Oh, but I didn't realize she was.
She was a council member for 2 years before she became mayor.
Oh, okay.
But probably 2 years in, you're still kind of figuring things out.
Yeah.
So maybe, and so she's probably a council member for, she's a council member for 2 years, but that second year she was a council member who's also running for mayor.
Gotcha.
So, but the intensity of the job is very different than I anticipated. I have gone, I think, 21 days in a row without having a day off. Just because while there are several different facets to the job, I believe. So most people, because we have a city management form of government, think that the mayor is just the face of the city and the ribbon cutter and the really happy person who sells the city. It's a lot deeper than that. These regional boards and commissions and the level of knowledge you have to be able to represent the city is very different. But when we talk about 21 days in a row, weekends are never mine, because that is when people expect me to show up and be places.
Right.
Sometimes my Saturdays can be busier than some of my work weeks.
Right.
And I show this to people all the time. Just because it just blows my own mind. But if I open up my calendar and I show you, not this week because I'm going out of town, but the week that I'm back. So I'll just kind of show all that green space is meetings. All that green space, green and gray space, is meetings.
Looks a lot like mine.
I have Mother's Day off. But I mean, I have Mother's Day off. I'm going to take my mom. But actually, I'm going to an event that I had to go to anyway.
because the Asia Pacific Cultural Center is putting out something and they wanted the mayor to be present. So I'm bringing my mom as her Mother's Day gift.
All
so
right.
I'm combining the two. But this is what a typical week looks like. For me.
Go.
I actually have some free time here. That's not what a typical week looks like. I very rarely get white space on my calendar, right? And the white space is when I get to check emails. I wasn't able to check emails since Friday because I actually took the weekend away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 120 emails in my inbox. And that's minus the spam.
Right.
So that's gotten rid of all that's 120 emails that require some response from me. So I think the intensity of the job is probably what surprised me the most. And I talk about all the things I get to do, right? And I say get to do because I find it an honor to serve. It's not what I have to do.
Right, right.
It's what I'm honored to do. So there's the face of the city. So there's all the ribbon cuttings and the special events and the bringing greetings at conferences and all of those things that I have to do. Then there's an expectation to be the lead for the council. There's shepherding the work of the council and being the go-between the council members who are not here full-time and departments and city managers and trying to keep them all in line and in order and trying to, if I hear something from one council member and I heard from another council member, trying to balance the two and play negotiator a lot of times. So then there's that piece of it. And then there is what I think is more technical in nature, is kind of the regional work. So I would say the boards that I sit on, and three that come to mind very quickly for me, or four, is Sound Transit, Puget Sound Regional Council Executive Committee, Pierce Transit, and Ann Arbor Retirement Board.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm going to go to a conference just to learn more about our retirement system, because it's not that I'm just on those boards. For our retirement system board, I'm the chair of the board. I went through. We have 47 boards and commissions, and 16 of them I sit on myself.
Wow.
So the other 31 are divided among the other 8 council members. And some of these are only I can sit on. They're my positions on these boards. You can't send a surrogate.
Could you? So, if you had a pie chart.
Oh, what, God.
Uh oh. This is.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me. So, there is the leading the council, and I imagine council relations, the council lobbying you, talking with you, that sort of thing. So, that's one way
and
to the
policy,
pie.
And policy.
Right.
Policy. Mm. Yeah.
The and you have another wedge, that's the regional wards, another wedge, which is the face of the city. I imagine there's another wedge, which is, I guess, managing the city manager at some level. Yeah. So, I mean, at some point, you're the boss, right?
Yeah. And managing the city manager and talking with all the stats. I forgot South Sound 911.
Oh,
our
yes.
whole radio system.
Right, right. So, well, could you?
Oh boy, I don't know.
Percentages would be a bit of a shot in the dark, but you know, just some.
She's going to draw it.
I'm like, regional boards, council, city manager. And then there's just my own work, right? The policy that I want to work on.
Yes.
The issues that I want to push forward. And then just management of that, right? Emails, just returning phone calls. I have my own set of constituent work that I have
advocacy.
To do. You know what? I don't know if I could tell you tonight, but I'd be willing to take a stab at that and produce something. It's hard for
more on your plate.
Right. No.
Well, you have all that white space. You can just fill it
I
in.
I can just fill it in there. No, I say that because I just... What's really funny is I had to really think about how I would divide it all if I could, but it also just is so fluid. It is not like there isn't a day for this and a day for that. I can start the morning bringing greetings to a conference. Mm-hmm. By lunchtime, I could have talked about a $50 million project you know, and in the afternoon, I could talk about the whole investment strategy for city employees mm-hmm. and their retirement. And by the end of the day, I could be talking about infrastructure. I mean, it just, there is no, and there's no typical day.
Oh, that makes total sense.
There's no typical day.
Let me ask, you know, because I think that what you also said then there is that there's also advocacy for your own initiatives. I mean, you're elected with some kind of a platform.
Absolutely.
That you have to deliver on, and or at least make a good faith effort.
Absolutely.
So juggling that, and you're being called this way and that.
And I'm consulting
with
the city
agendas.
Manager on, and I know she's I manage the city manager, but I work with the city manager.
Yeah, sure.
And so, we spend a lot of time in conversation about how we're going to handle certain things.
Yeah.
Whether it's the hiring of the community and economic development director, even though she has the ultimate say.
Yes, right.
We're talking back and forth about what the council members. I just flew in this afternoon, and we stopped and had a brief conversation about how they're getting through that process and what the feedback was from all the council
right.
members. And so,
let me the last question
yeah.
about that: the citizens who just want your help on something.
All the time.
Yeah,
all the time. People bring. Like I said, I just got back into town this afternoon, and I met with one's a citizen. But a couple of people from AARP who want us to look at becoming a age-friendly city. And so it's like, that's something I really could see us doing that. Very interesting. I'm leaving you all in just a few minutes to go have dinner with a gentleman who's going to do a presentation tomorrow, a consultant who's been working with the county on supporting partnerships for anti-racist communities around affordable housing and homelessness.
Very good.
And then tomorrow night,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, and
yeah.
then tomorrow night I fly out because Tacoma was chosen as one of six cities across the country to participate in the Mayor's Institute on the opioid epidemic.
Wow.
We are the only city west of the Mississippi who got chosen to be a part of this Mayor's Institute. And so in order to participate, the mayor has to be engaged and present.
Gotcha. Wow.
So
you mentioned the role, you know, the city manager's role and your role.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before you got here, I've worked with city managers.
Right.
And I've worked with full-time mayors, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't worked with a full-time manager and a full-time mayor. And so that's not unique, but it's not that common either to have that. So how would you differentiate between your job and that of the city manager? Is it pretty clear to you, or is it
it's
kind of
pretty,
mushy?
It's very clear to me. I don't manage staff.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't manage staff. Now I have I get a lot of information from staff. I get consulted on a lot
mm-hmm.
By staff with the city manager. But at the end of the day, I am very clear that it is the city manager's decision.
Okay.
Now, we interact a lot because it's really in the city manager's best interest for me to have buy-in. And because I'm the only one who is here with her every day, I'm the one who, when there's an issue between council and the city manager, I'm the one to best solve that issue. So keeping me abreast and on board and made aware of any major decisions is really important for the city manager.
Now, do you and she set the agenda for the council together, or how does that work?
So I ultimately set the agenda for the council. But it is with her help. We work in partnership on everything. If I know that there's something specific that I've heard from council members, then I'll ask to get that on the agenda. If staff is working on something, they really need to get it to council, then she'll talk to me and say, Victoria, I really think we need to get this on the agenda. But I am the final setter of the of the agenda.
And this is, I should know this, but
no.
Do you have, when I worked in city manager cities, the mayor was the first among equals and had a vote along with the council on all matters.
Yeah.
Now, are you a tiebreaker or do you have a vote?
I have a vote. So when we set policy, I'm one of nine votes.
Okay.
I'm one of nine votes.
So knowing that we have an incredibly limited time with you,
yes.
And salaries are a really uncomfortable conversation.
Yes.
What do you want us to know about the amount you make, do you feel it's enough, it's not enough, it's fair, it's reasonable, it's not fair, it's not reasonable.
So hard.
We're
it is hard. I know. That is the reality, right?
Sorry, I'm a teacher.
No, you get straight to that. I love you.
You're not
right
now.
I will say this. So when I decided to run for mayor, I was still under the guidelines of the initial salary cap that you set at $78,000. And I was still willing to run because I had a heart to serve.
Gotcha.
It wasn't until after I got elected that I found out that you all had changed the cap on the salary. And I was thrilled to death because I think the service that the mayor of this city gives, and not just gives because they want to, but the expectations of a mayor in Tacoma are very different, in my opinion, than the expectations in other cities, especially in other mayors that I've run into. It's not optional to show up at some things. It's not, at least in my mind, it's not optional. People elect you, and that's what they expect from you. And I don't think it's an unrealistic expectation. But I will say that when I found out what the salary was, I guess it's hard to think about what more would look like, but because I was so happy to get what I got. I will say what I was even more happy having been a council member is what you did for council members. And I will say this about being a council member, and then maybe come back and talk to you all at the next quarter after I've got 3 more months in about my job. But I will say this about a council member. You know, a lot of our council members have full-time jobs when they run, and they talk to their bosses about, you know, I want to run for city council, it's going to require this, this, and this. Is it okay to run? And the boss says, yeah, we can work with that, sure, great. And then they get elected.
Oh.
It is really hard. We call this a part-time council, but it is not the expectations of this council. The amount of information that we're expected to know and comprehend, it's a lot. And I feel incredibly overwhelmed for my council members who have to hold down 2 jobs or who, when they get elected, lose their job. And I know of that in 2 instances. One when I was on the council before and one that just happened to a council member now. So I just, and when we talk about, you know, so funny, we talk about, you know, affordable housing, and none of the council members, maybe a few have really great jobs or have flexibility in our jobs, but this is a hard-working council.
Gotcha.
And they work hard at their job here, and they work hard at their other jobs. But if given more time, or if there were an opportunity to do raises, I think, and I don't, for council members who have the flexibility to hold 2 jobs, it seems like a lot. But for council members who don't, and I also will say this, I think the kind of council member, what we pay, not everybody has the flexibility to even have a job to think about being a council member.
Right.
So I just put that on the record. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
But, and like I said, give me a couple more months and I'll evaluate it. It was more than I thought, so I'm so happy it's more than I thought. So, right. I would not want to see our salary decrease.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. I think I work hard for every dime that I make. And I will tell you that in addition to being present at a lot of these things, because of PDC rules, so some of these things we have to pay for ourselves and there's not reimbursement. And I will tell you that every nonprofit or organization that does a fundraiser in Tacoma expects me to be there and expects me to write a check.
Absolutely.
And
these are expensive friends.
Exactly. And not that I'm a leader.
Yeah.
I'm a leader. And not that my salary should go to that, but I think it's what's expected of me should be considered when you think about everything that we do.
Do you have to leave at 6:30?
No, I can be. I was late getting down here. Yeah. I've been running late all day.
Well, kind of just to piggyback, I get, yeah. You know, for me, it's also a question, because the commission is still relatively new.
Right.
And we've, you know, what is your, I guess, what would be your advice to the commission? What do you see, have a sense where you would be seeing us, you and, let's say, channeling the city council, would be seen as a good faith and fair effort on our part to do right by the community and right by the elected officials?
So I remember when you all were first formed, they asked us to fill out kind of this questionnaire.
A survey, yes, right.
The survey that kind of documented, and most people didn't even have time to fill it all out.
Right.
I mean, because it's, so most of us said, go to my assistant, can you fill this out for me? And then we don't even really have staff, so that's another thing. We are not heavily staffed.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So when I talk about the 120 emails, it isn't as though I have two staff people or a full-time staff person checking
screening
emails
that
for me. No, that's not
your entourage either. Isn't claiming in.
No. And every time I go somewhere, they're like, where are your entourage? I go, what entourage?
That's right.
I'm like, I am my entourage.
Sorry.
But anyway, I think an opportunity, I think talking to people, talking to city council members about their, I think you would get a lot more from that than you would asking them to fill out a survey.
Yeah.
Because it just, I have to be honest with you, it becomes another thing to do. And we are already so overburdened with trying to respond to the needs of this community that, and most people, I can't speak for everybody, most people do not run for office because there's a big paycheck at the end of it. The scrutiny and the amount of work is not worth it. So people who run for office, at least in this community, run to serve. But I think that in that service they should be compensated for, because there's an expectation on the other side of it. It's kind of, and I know that people don't like to pay for that. I know that that's a hard thing to sell to people. I liken it to, so I've been in church most of my life, and I belong to a church body that believes in paying their pastors full time. And I remember arguments about, well, why should we pay him so much? He's a servant. That's true, but he also has a family to support. And at the end of the day, when you call him at 2:00 in the morning, you expect him to answer.
Right.
And when you run into him in a grocery store and you have a problem, you expect him to solve it. Elected officials are the same way. As much as people gripe about that, on the other side, don't answer the phone or don't solve their problem. And right?
We need advertising.
So I just say, but my charge to you would be, and I know it's also very easy to look at other governments, right? Because I looked at the pay scale of what other governments are doing and thought, wow, it looks like we're making. But
right.
I think about what they're doing and how much. I mean, most of them don't even have weekly. We are in meetings, and I mean all day. For the most part, this year, with a brand new council even, our study session starts at noon. Or if you're on a committee, you could start at 10. And we don't see the light of day till after the council meeting.
Wow.
I mean, we are butts in chairs all day long. And it's not meeting for the sake of meeting. I mean, it's presentations of understanding issues that we're, policy that we're about to vote on. Or understanding issues so we can figure out what policy we want to pass to make things happen. So, but I would say meeting, I think it would be a good opportunity. So you all have a recommendation out now that's effect in 2018. When are you evaluating that?
Well, that's actually, we don't have a schedule for revaluation.
Okay.
So that's what actually one of the things we need to do. You know, we're still learning our job.
Right.
And so, we don't have, that's a question I have for the commission, is when do we revisit?
We just have to, if we are making a decision, by September.
Okay.
So each year,
Each year by September. So a decision, even if it's status quo, some decision has to be made by every September. I mean, obviously you can't get all council members in by September, but I would think about maybe talking to a new city council member, and then you have like Anders Ibsen and Ryan Mello. I would maybe talk to Ryan Mello, invite somebody who's been on the city council for a long time.
Yeah. And I apologize.
What's that? So I would say talk to, you could talk to Council Member Ushka, Council Member Beal, or Council Member Hunter. And I would invite them. And the other thing I'd say, I know that you all also, and you all didn't, because you all are new.
No, I'm not.
No, you're
I'm at the beginning.
Okay, so I know the COLA went away, right? Yeah. The yearly increase, because I understand that was kind of bumping salaries
right.
up. And maybe September is when you evaluate whether or not to do some kind of cost of living.
Yeah. I think just at the beginning, because we had so little time between our being seated and the September deadline, that's why we cut the salaries so dramatically. We always figured we could raise them.
Yeah.
So that was, and obviously as we deliberated more, and now we have to get into, I think, a cycle of review, and we just haven't, you know, this is our
absolutely.
Our own development as a commission. So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate. I appreciate you all. Making this commitment to serve this way, and I know it's a difficult conversation, but I appreciate you for being brave enough to take it up and to be the face for us, because I think that we have to sit with you and be honest with you about what it takes to do this job, because whatever decision you all make, you have to own that decision.
Yeah.
And you have to be comfortable to have enough information to be able to say, no, this is why it's different. This is why you can't, you have to be able to compare apples to apples. And I don't know, when I think about regionally, I mean, when you think about Vancouver, whose city is, you know, just not much smaller than ours, but smaller than ours, but while they're in a region, they're in the Portland, you know, region.
They're in the shadow.
What's expected of the Pierce, Snohomish, King County, and especially around economic development as we
right.
move forward, as Seattle is growing out of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to go to China just to talk to investors who are investing here, and we're getting more investment from China. I mean, so that level, the mayor of another, you know, of Vancouver is probably not doing that.
Right.
And that expectation doesn't exist. So that's why, and the city manager is not going to be the one to go to China.
No, they don't want
to. City manager is staying here running the day-to-day operations of the city. She doesn't have time to be out there doing all of those things. And that's where I think we're a little bit different.
Thank you so much, Mayor.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate
Thank you guys for having
yeah.
me. It was my pleasure.
Excellent. Have a good dinner.
I will come back anytime. Yes, we're going to talk about homelessness. One of the crises I want to solve.
Yeah, so. That is a tough issue.
Tough issue. It is really
yeah.
tough.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for your Thank time. Thank you. See you ladies later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What are some of your takeaways from what you heard from the mayor?
So, I guess I didn't realize that September was our deadline to have made a decision, which means that we really will need to make it in our August meeting, which means we actually don't have time to invite any council members to sit in here. I would be interested in making a proposal, and feel free to, I'm a little far away to kick, but that each of us take one or two council members, and we can email back and forth and decide who we want to take, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
whoever you want to hand me, I'll take, and attempt to set up meetings with them individually on our own time and say, here's a hard conversation and here's where I am. Is that not possible? You're sighing at me. No. Okay. Because there's no way for us to get the information before we have to make a decision.
Let's not put too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
We have no need to change our recommendation for the September. I do think we owe it to ourselves to be deliberate about what is the cycle of review. We don't have to do it annually, but we certainly should do it at least every other year. I think, so a couple of data, some data that we need. First of all, I think we need a current list of council members and their terms.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah. And I also need to be reminded by whoever the legal advisor is, what can we there are rules about when we make a decision. I don't think we can change the elected official's salary during their term. So I guess I need to know. So what is the effective date for changing elected official salaries? Is it, you know, when they get reelected? In other words, is Mayor Woodard at $100,000 for her entire term? Is there a midterm bump you could do, that sort of thing? So that's legal counsel that we need.
My understanding is that whatever you guys decide will go into effect immediately. However, I think there was some talk about it in the past, but I can definitely check with our legal advisor and get back to you guys on that to confirm.
I think it might be helpful in this case. I could write you the question I want answered and copy you guys, and then have rather than put it on your shoulders, you can be the conduit to get the guidance that we need. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I can do that. But I think, you know, it's a good question. You know, what did we have to...
Did we ever get the information about the Spokane?
Oh, those bastards. Excuse me.
Do we assume a 40-hour work week based on the numbers they gave us then?
I think that's
so. I have a question. So the city council members are only half time, like their pay is only 10 is for like a half time position.
It would be part time.
Part time position, whatever that looks like. Okay.
For us, yes, but there are a couple other municipalities whose council members are considered full time. So there's just varies.
And in relation to some of those other cities that we looked at, like that were in comparison to Tacoma, are those city councils part-time or are they full-time? Do you know?
I don't have that information actually right off the bat. I do know that from my conversations doing the research that a couple of them are full-time and a couple of them are part-time. So it really varies. And if that's something that you guys are interested in, we can definitely...
Yeah, I would add that
would be interesting.
Because
that's something I didn't pick up when we've met before. And, you know, I've been sitting on this for a year and I didn't know that, so...
Yeah. What were some of the comments that the mayor made that stick with you?
I found it interesting that she pays for her events and isn't reimbursed for that. So, I mean, how much out of pocket is she having to dole out to go to all of those events?
I know that there's a lot of times in the events that we hold where the mayor is extended an invitation, and if she comes, we comp that invitation, or we say, you're coming on our, so she may attend a lot of events, and there may be ones that she pays for out of pocket, but a lot of times if she can make the time to show up, they will...
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. She pointed that out, which is...
Well,
I was
like the charity auctions, which you know you're going to...
Yeah.
Right, you're going to
leave
writing a check.
Well,
for,
and tax write-off, though. I mean, like, there's...
Yeah. There's some cushion on that, but not... Yeah, not well, anyway, having said that, anything else? Victor, how about you? What did you...
It was just interesting to see, like, when she said she's going to China, and, like, a lot of cities don't do that. Like, being from, like, my husband's from Spokane, they don't do that. Mm. They go to, like, Idaho. They go compare and, like, get full money in from, like, because Coeur d'Alene's that big hub, and Spokane's closer than, say, the mayor from Spokane or the Valley comes over here and asks for, like, help. So, like, that comparison, and I've seen both sides of it, because I lived in Cheney, and the smaller aspect compared to the bigger aspect of Tacoma.
And she did say she was going to the...
Oh, the mayor's
the mayor
study
thing.
Group on opioid epidemic.
On opioid epidemic. I was like, okay. Well, but it's awesome that she was invited. It was awesome.
I guess so. China is the big money that's building that hotel right there. On
22
on,
stories right next to my
office.
I mean,
so there's, if there's money to be brought in, I mean, I don't know that China's out in the valley building a hotel, so.
Well, they're also building the, that, you know, town center.
Right.
Chinese
I mean, the the money that's coming in from China, of course, there should be some, you know, meetings, and we can't assume they're all going to happen here. And the opioid crisis, like, we were, Tacoma was first in the meth crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Tacoma's one of the biggest places to have the opioid crisis. So
no,
for,
but I thought
for,
it was awesome.
It's super awesome that she's invited. It's super awesome that she's going. But some of this stuff is circumstantial to where we live.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to say, well, other mayors aren't doing this, or other mayors aren't involved in the same way. Well, if Seattle had the opioid crisis that we are, maybe Jenny Durkin would be, like, involved in something like that. It just so happens that it's our backyard, not theirs. So I think that there's, and maybe I'm just too cynical for this, but I think that there's some of the things that we're saying, oh, wow, look at this, but maybe it's all happening because of some of the other pieces that are in play that would be any mayor doing this or any person in this position doing this.
Yeah, but that's what I just feel like that's kind of what we're trying to recognize. It's not, we're not compensating this mayor. It's the mayor
position.
And that accountability, trying to weigh that, what is fair compensation for that level of accountability? You know,
and what is the position? Because for I think I kind of understand it, the difference between what the city manager does and the mayor does. And she kind of, like, fleshed that out a little bit for me, a little bit, but that's her interpretation of what it is. I lived in a small town. I lived in Oregon, and we had a mayor.
Yeah.
And so the city manager position, I'm like, because he did everything.
Oh.
All of it. You know what I'm saying?
For me, I was I appreciated her kind of trying to parse out the various aspects of her job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was helpful for me to understand that. I was also her empathy for demands on the city council, I also have to say I appreciate it. I think that, you know, that was something that, I don't think you guys were here, but the former deputy mayor who came here and talked about the role, it was fascinating. I think her point that, you know, get to know the people whose salary were making decisions on is probably a valuable insight.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a few of the council members come.
Yeah. I think Julie's idea is kind of desirable. I think if we had a script to follow.
Well, it sounds like it's not. We're not allowed.
The only thing with that is that because it is a public commission, that everything has to be recorded and made known, like a public meeting notice, and people can come in and sit in.
But we could do some kind of a panel.
Yeah, that might be fun.
We could do a panel. And have somebody who's been there a while.
That might be
a couple of the new, and somebody, you know, maybe like three or four of them if we could get.
What if we invited the three of them to our August meeting? I love that idea. What do you think, Julie?
I like that. Are you guys referring to the three new?
No. She suggested
Mello. I would say we would reach out to any of the eight. Or she's the eighth vote, so it's the seventh.
She's the ninth
vote. That's what I thought. Okay, I'm like, but then I was like, Sarah's made me think I was crazy. We reach out to any of the eight and any of the eight that are available. I don't know that we select and say only want three of. You know, we say
who's available.
We would like presence. We were hoping for a minimum of one or two new and one or two old, but you know, I mean, hope that one of them will show up.
Well. And we have some leverage here, you know.
We don't have to make a decision in September, if that's what you guys are worried about, because it can still just roll over.
Yeah, right. It just continues. But we can in August, although I have to look at my calendar. But having said that, I think it would be, you know, I guess, what I don't know what the mechanism is to invite the city council, and maybe if you could find out for us how we would go about extending that kind of an invitation.
Well, I mean, is it similar to how we decided we wanted to invite the mayor and then you reached out and we put something on her calendar and she was able to come? Would it be that mechanism? Okay. Mm-hmm. So could we just, I don't know. I don't know how much
it'd be
required
nice to
approval.
See if we
could we just
get
say,
some.
Can we get them there for, this is our next meeting, we're inviting you to come.
I can definitely send a message over to, I think, some of their support staff to see if any of the council members are available to come to our next meeting. And I'll wait for that confirmation first before I get back to you guys on that.
I'm just, I don't want it to be a circus-like atmosphere with, you know, if all eight show up, we're kind of like, oh, man. I guess that doesn't hurt.
Then it's a surprise. All eight showed up, and look how much they care about their salaries.
Yeah, good point, good point.
I don't.
You don't think we have something to worry about?
I would struggle to anticipate that all eight would make this priority in their schedules.
You'd have to come up with some questions. Yeah. We want this very targeted questions.
I think it's probing more. It's actually, to some degree, like the survey that we did. And I have to ask, have you guys seen the survey?
Mm-mm.
That would be a good thing for anyone who
well,
hasn't
maybe
seen
we
this
invite them at 6:15 and then we have 15 minutes before they come to.
We could put pull back that survey.
Yeah. What was that?
We could use the questions from the original survey.
Or we could
survey.
Choose from them. I think it's at least important for you to see what we learned. One of the struggles at the beginning was, so what is the job? You know, what really is going on? And I think Mayor Wittert's point is well taken that it's one thing to put it in writing, but another thing to get to have that personal sense.
I found it interesting that I had to take notes because for my own self, but that two of the members lost jobs because they took the position.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. So let me, I was going to say, let me add to my communication to you, Chandra. Both the question about what's the about timing of any decision we make and the effective date. I'll add to that the kind of an invitation to the council that you could pass on.
Okay.
And I'll copy you guys so you know what I'm. Yeah.
Last word for me. I'm all for it.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal. I think this would be good. I'd be interested in hearing from more detailed. Again, I still struggle with what's the criteria for making a fair decision. But we'll continue to struggle with that.
And again, maybe this is the wrong room for me to be in, given what I do. I negotiate contracts for people's wages for a living. So the thought of having a mayor and city council, I don't know why they got away from COLAs. That's history I just don't have the history of, but linking it to CPI, linking it to what the union represented. I mean, the unions have to sit and negotiate their contracts every 2 years. I don't know any that are off budget cycle. Most of them are on budget cycle. I work closely with the Labor Negotiations Department. They have like 29 contracts they have to get through this year. It's absolutely terrible. But to sit here and say, okay, if we look at something like the mean of the contracts that were established in this year and whatever that those union represented employees go up is what we're willing to take up the council or the and say there's some tie to whatever you're going to give the citizens of your, because they're the ultimate sign-off, council and the mayor are the ultimate sign-off, whatever you're going to give your constituents is what you should take home. That there's not an element of you get 12% and these guys get 2%.
Yeah.
That you keep some kind of balance so that folks can continue to live in the city.
Yeah. For me, that would be a great conversation to continue to explore. I don't know if it's, I'd have to think about, just whether some kind of average of what they're getting, others getting.
Well,
I think so kind of
reference. You have to take a look at some of the groups, police and fire, have some access to something called interest arbitration. I'm not sure if folks are familiar. Basically, if you can't come to a decision at the table on what the wages should be, there's a binding arbitrator that gets called in. They look at all the facts and they make a decision for you. So very rarely goes in a city's favor.
No.
You would have to take those out because anyone with interest arbitration has access to something that nobody else has. But
I think what you're saying, though, I think makes a lot of sense. What's the index that makes sense to me? I don't.
Well, and the CPI is the Consumer Price Index. That's how much the cost of goods and services raise every year. So last year, when you look at your June to June numbers, you had a raise of 3.6%. So bread, milk, cheese, everything costs about 3.6% more. So if your wages aren't going up, you're essentially backsliding. You're essentially being able to buy less with your wages. So if they aren't going up accordingly, and so that's where you see some of these places. And so she mentioned South Sound 911. I work with them. Some of their folks in their administrative department got like $30,000 raises this year.
Cool.
So you're looking at, they're certainly not giving any of their staff $30,000 raises. Well, or the equivalent is like, it was like a 25% raise for some of these people. They're not giving the dispatchers who are answering the phones a 25% raise. So where's that income disparity coming in? Do you really do a job that's now all of a sudden, because somebody blinked, 25%, worth 25% more? And so that's where I'm saying I don't know that I'm the best person at this table, because I do a lot with numbers, I do a lot with contracts, I do a lot with wages. That I think tying it to something that's not arbitrary, something that then ties it back into the community, seems like a place to start for me.
To me, that's a very healthy conversation. I don't know if, I guess I have to say, I'm not going to.
And I'm not looking for a yes or a no tonight.
No,
I'm just throwing out information.
I think you're on the right track, though, that there's some way we can have some confidence, some reference point where we can feel confident that we're operating fairly.
Because we were originally using, you know, we were looking at a variety of different cities and what they had, you know, what they had done, and kind of.
And comparables are great until you get a good baseline number, and then how do you grow from that baseline number if your comparables are no longer your comparables? Like she said, the mayor in Vancouver is not going to China. China's not building hotels and community squares, and they're not upselling Vancouver.
Right.
So she doesn't have a similar. So for us to,
they don't have
to use
infrastructure
and
all of that.
Right. So where are your metrics? And she's not going to make what Jenny Durkin makes in Seattle. It's just Seattle's a different city. It's a different size. It's a different. So looking at how do you navigate? Okay, we think we're in a fair realm. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
And how do we tie it to something so that those beyond us who are sitting in this committee later can continue to have for, like, we're not recreating the wheel every 4 years or 3 years when people are rotating off.
Right on. I think that's perfect. Yeah. And I think the fact that you play with numbers is a good thing to have here.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
It's a different insight. It helps.
Yeah. So I think the idea that we need to come up with, have a better fix on what is the cycle for review and action is something that we just haven't done that.
Well, and that's where if you tie it to something like the CPI or a COLA number or what the mean of the unions is getting, if you tie it to something, then you can raise it every year.
Right.
Then you can look at having a fair and reasonable balanced way to make that without going, okay, well, we're only going to look at this every 2 years or every 4 years or every time a new council comes, every time a new group of us sit together, we'll look at making a change. Then you do have a metric to say, here's why we're raising it, and here's the justification.
The reason we eliminated the 2.5% fixed increase was that was the basis for what we saw at the beginning was the elected official salaries kind of getting out of sync.
Control.
Absolutely.
Because they were getting raises when nobody else was getting raises.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, well, that's, you know, we wanted to be more thoughtful about
mm-hmm.
that. The other,
and that's why I'm not a big advocate of straight COLAs, because
right.
So Pierce County, we just completed contract negotiations. Their folks are getting 1.8 mm-hmm. for this year, and then to turn around and say, okay, but your council elected folks are going to get 2.5. Well, that feels like a huge income disparity.
Mm-hmm.
And 2.5 when you're making 100,000 is a lot more than 1.8 when you're making 40.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do the math
well,
on
I
that.
Think that's right. Yeah. So it's, yeah. So and it's how the elected official's compensation will be judged to. I mean, that's part of the reality. But anyway, so that's why we got rid of the 2.5%. What was interesting at the very beginning is people were concerned about the creation of this commission. I actually don't know what the debate was at the Charter Commission to why they created this. But one of the concerns was that we would overcompensate elected officials, that we would go too far in, you know, kind of favoring elected official compensation, which it was just what was expressed at the beginning. So, anyway. That's a little bit.
I don't think we've done that.
Nope.
I don't run around the city, but my calendar looks a lot like hers. So when she pulled that out and she was waiting for shock and awe, I'm like,
Yeah, that's what
my calendar looks like. No, right. A lot of everyone's busy. So,
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are the comments or questions? I think are we at the point of
review and approval of minutes? Unless we had anything else on the discussion of with having the mayor.
Any final thoughts here? This is really helpful. Thank you, Chauncey, for arranging to have Mayor Witter here. That's just fantastic. Can we send her a thank you note?
Yes.
I'll include that.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'd appreciate that.
So, review and approval of minutes. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Right on. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Oh,
woo! Oh,
power.
My God, am I, oh my God.
I think
God.
It's a power.
I am going to strut my stuff all the way up to my house.
I think it's interesting. I think Ron would have enjoyed being here and listening to the chemical dependency stuff. We both, he and I both have a background in chemical dependency, and so I am super interested now to kind of hear more about what she does and what that looks like and
that would
the opiate epidemic stuff. It'd
be interesting to see what she does with the homeless
situation. It's just these issues which we have to respond to are so heartbreaking. Okay, so we need a motion to adjourn.
I made the last one.
Sherry, time to step up.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
We're
out of here. Good. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
guys.
I have to sign this.
We gave you all the